Good morning, ancient and new friends, family, listeners. I'm driving on one of my favorite streets in Oak Ridge. I just drove out to look at something. I had to bring something to a friend who lives on the west end of town, and as a result, I'm out here. Like, I now live on the east end of Oak Ridge, and so I never really come over to the west end for any reason. And since I had to bring something to a friend who lives way out here, he lives on the street where some of my friends grew up, I thought, I'm going to drive up and see this one spot. There's this one spot. It's not even all that beautiful. It's just kind of this, it's kind of one of those moments where a valley opens up, where all the power lines kind of go down in a row. You can see them go for a couple of miles. And the West End just has a lot of trees and hills, and so you can't see a lot. And then all of a sudden, this little vista opens up. And when I first learned to drive and first drove my own car, I would always drive up here just to see something open up.
Hello. Oh, cool. It works. First episode with AirPods right now. Maddie got me AirPods for our wedding. It's crazy. They're coming. I just hid inside my house until the garbage people left. And you're probably like, what the heck? And I'm like, well, no one has ever had more garbage than we have had in the past 3 weeks since moving Maddie in and throwing away my stuff and stuff because the dump is closed. So we've just been like bagging stuff up and putting it out. And, you know, I'm like, oh gosh, they probably hate me right now. So I just hid in my house until I'm basically going to be late for work now because I didn't want to get seen. This I'm not going to read the scripture because I'm guessing we already read it.
But I'm stopped here and looking out of this vista. I'm going to read John 16. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. John 16, starting verse 5. Jesus said, "Now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it's for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men don't believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That's why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. In a little while, you will see me no more. And then after a little while, you will see me."
I just love, the Holy Spirit. I love that we have the Holy Spirit. And I imagine for the disciples in the middle of what was going on, it must have been confusing for him to say, "I'm going and it's going to be better for you," basically. Like, it's going to be better that I'm gone. And you're like, what? What are you possibly talking about? How could that possibly be true? And, you know, that must have been so confusing. I think about all the people around him who had their lives changed. And, oh no, there was a bird that can't fly. It's just sitting in the road, and that lady almost hit it. It must have been so stinking confusing for them. And I'm kind of like, don't leave. Be here with us. Just walk around with us. But it's an awesome thing that we get the Holy Spirit. Each one of us, at all times, the Holy Spirit is with us. It's in our hearts. I can see Tom giving me a look right now. He's in our hearts. That's not correct to say it's, but.
Okay, now I'm going to drive. By the way, listeners, Thomas is married. He's married. He got married. Thomas and Maddie got married this past weekend, it was a tiny wedding, like only a little bit bigger than that wedding in Braveheart that happened in the middle of the night. It was really sweet, and we got to be there. It was really, really precious. And now Thomas has a wife. He's married. So awesome. And so this is our first podcast where both Thomas and I are married, not to each other, but to our wives. So welcome. We're talking about something that happened. This conversation in John 16 happened before Jesus went to the cross and rose from the dead and ascended from the grave. But he's talking about something that was going to happen after all of that. He's kind of warning his guys. You know, he's been telling them for 6 months, I'm going to the cross and I'm going to be raised from the dead. And now he tells them what's going to happen afterwards. I'm going to go, he says. And when I go, you're going to be filled with grief. But I'm telling you, it's better. It's better if I go. If I'm one of the disciples, I'm thinking, how could it be better? When if you don't go, we get to see your face and we get to hug you and we get to share a meal with you and we get to hear the sound of your laugh and we get to hear the sound of you singing. There's a couple places in the Gospels where it talks about Jesus singing with his guys. And can you just take a minute and think about what it would have been like to hear Jesus sing? Wow, that must have been so cool. Well, for just a second, I forgot which way to turn on these streets that I used to drive on every day 22 years ago. That's so funny. But to hear Jesus sing, and they're thinking, how could it be better if you go away? That's absolutely ridiculous. But he says, if I go away, then I'm going to send the counselor, the spirit, the guide. Those are three things that he said about the Holy Spirit, that he was going to guide you, that he was going to counsel you. He would be the spirit of truth. He's going to bring truth. So, so cool. He said, you're going to grieve because you don't see me. And to me, I think one of the hardest things about walking with Jesus is the fact that you can't see him, that I don't get to see his face and I don't get to hear the sound of his voice all day long. And we don't get to hug and high five and all of that stuff. And the disciples did, and then they weren't going to get to anymore. And Jesus told them, this is better.
I was reading, it was in the Psalms this morning, and I'm like trying to scroll and find it right now. I think it was in, here it is. In Psalm 84, it says, blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Blessed are those whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. I did this project it was my sophomore history class. Coach Rush, for those of you who remember him, awesome, world history. And we all had to do this like massive presentation. It was like the first really big presentation that people had to do in high school. And you basically had to do it to pass. And I got like, my presentation, it was, everyone got picked, assigned basically a big historical thing. And then you had to give a presentation on it. And mine was on like the pilgrimage to Mecca, which I don't really remember what it was about or exactly what religion it was. People basically just walked. I think it was, I could be wrong about this. I think it was Islamic, and people would just go on this big journey. They would just walk to this city in Saudi Arabia, if I'm not mistaken. I think I got like a B on it, and there's also like, you know, I had a friend of mine did the Camino de Santiago, where people all across Spain just start walking and they just hike and they travel from wherever they are to this one place in Spain. And I think the idea of it is you are just going on a journey and you are walking and you are finding places to sleep and food along the way. And the whole heart of it is I'm going to be closer to the Lord when I do this. It's going to bring me closer to God. This life, more than ever, feels like a pilgrimage. And not like a I don't know. I think a true pilgrimage, a true hike, a true walk is hard. There are moments, though, when you are going downhill and the wind is blowing and it's at your back and it is cool against your skin and it is cooling you down. And then you stop in a creek and you rest your feet and you pump some water with your filter that tastes cold and clean and refreshing. And you eat a Cliff Bar and it gives you a burst of energy and it tastes sweet and it's awesome. And then there are moments when the snow is 2 feet deep. I remember a couple years ago, my friend Tyler and I started this tradition the day after Christmas that we would go to the Smokies and we would hike. And it only lasted 1 year because I couldn't do it this year. But it'll start back next year, hopefully. But we hiked in like 2 feet, 2 foot of snow. And a trip that should have taken, like the trail we did was like a mile and a half. And I think it should take about 45 minutes with the amount of hills, or 40 minutes. And it took us forever. And it was absolutely beautiful, the payoff. But the hike was hard. And we were trudging through snow. And it was awesome, but it was so hard. And sometimes it's going to feel like you're going uphill both ways. Like the grandpa used to say in Rugrats, 15 miles both ways uphill. I can't believe I just remembered that. And when I think about a true pilgrimage, that's probably what it's like. We're beating our bodies, as Paul says. But like the psalm says, blessed is he whose heart is set on pilgrimage, who realizes this thing is going to be a journey. It's going to be hard. But we need a leader. We need a guide. We need a voice saying, this is what you do. Later on in that little passage in John 16, it says, he will make known things to you that I have said. He will interpret things. He will tell you things. He will guide you. He will make clear my scriptures to you, the words I have left behind for you.
When I think about these scriptures, oh my gosh, I'm going to drive by my old house. This is so weird. I'm going to drive by the house that I grew up in. Here I am, Miramar Circle on the west end of Oak Ridge. This is going to be trippy, yo. Join me in my trippy moment of nostalgia, which is a Greek word that means the pain of home. Thomas, if he's listening to this, is laughing and shaking his head no, because he hates when I point out that word, what that word means. There it is. There's my house. Oh my gosh. I just got flooded with a lot of weird stuff right there. Okay, here we go. The thing that I'm thinking about is a couple of things. When our son Jack was little bitty, and I would try to throw a ball with him, the ball would just hit him, and he didn't know how to catch yet. And so then he kind of got used to the fact that he was getting hit with a ball, and so he started dodging them. And so when I tried to throw a ball to him, he would dodge it instead of trying to catch it. And I kept trying to teach him how to catch, and he would always dodge. And then there came a day where he, like, caught a football. And then a day where he, like, caught a baseball in a baseball glove. And since then, like, his favorite thing is to go out in the yard and play catch. He just wants to catch. He realizes, like, yeah, it hurts to get hit by a ball. But as soon as I learn how to catch, oh, man, there's nothing like playing catch with your dad. There's nothing like playing catch with your mom and your sisters. It's the greatest. Let's go outside. Let's play catch. Another thing about Jack is that we live on a street where it's not great for riding bikes. It's just like hilly and cars kind of fly around the corner on it, and it's hard to be warned that they're coming. And so it honestly, like, took our kids a long time to learn how to ride a bike, just because we don't have a great street for it. We don't have a nice parking lot around and stuff. And so for a long, long time, like, Jack had like a, he had an aversion to even learning how to ride a bike, because he kept feeling like, I'm getting older and older and I don't know how to do it. And so I think it would just feel more comfortable, like, a better feeling than the shame of not being able to ride a bike would just be the idea that I don't even like bikes. I don't even want to learn how to ride a bike. So I don't even want to do that. And then slowly over time, and really through Christy's awesome parenting and persistence, like, he got it. He learned how to ride. And y'all, right now, the dude loves to ride his bike. He loves to conquer difficult hills. He got a bike that has multiple gears on it, so he can do hills now. And there's this place out at Haw Ridge that has these like dips. It looks like a kind of a tame kind of BMX course, and he just crushes that thing. He just looks like such a pro, and he loves it. And I think there's, in the thing that Jesus is saying in these verses, I think there's a germ of what Jack feels in that. Or what Jack feels is kind of like a movie trailer of the thing that Jesus is talking about, which is, you guys love hanging out with me, and you think that the best thing in the world is if I were physically present in the world and then you got to see me. But of course, the problem is that if Jesus is in Tulsa and you are in Jacksonville, Florida, you don't get to see him. And he can only be with the people that can physically be around close enough to hear his voice or touch his hands or touch the hem of his robe or whatever. If he's in Jakarta and you are in Dublin, you don't get to be with Jesus. And what Jesus was saying to those guys was, yes, it's so good to be with me in close proximity, but I'm about to do something that nobody's ever thought of. I'm going to ascend into heaven, and then I'm going to send Almighty God, the Holy Spirit, who has the ability to go down inside of the heart and mind and spirit of every single person who says yes to me, who invites me in, and I'll never leave you. All of my wisdom and all of my compassion and all of my joy and all of my power and all of it, it's just going to be ready access for you. Yes, I'm going to be invisible. And yes, that's going to be trippy and weird. But there's something that you could learn. There's something that you could get reps at and get good at. And that is being with me, having communion with me, God, the Holy Spirit, who in Romans chapter 8, Paul calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of Christ. Jesus said, I'm going to ascend to the Father so that through the Spirit, I can come down into the heart and mind and spirit of every single believer in Jesus and be with you all of the time. It's not going to be like if I'm in one city and you're in a different one, I can't be with you. I'm going to be with you all the time. And as soon as you learn how to hang out with me, you're not going to want to do anything else. As soon as you learn how to get this down, it's going to be like Jack with a baseball or Jack with a bicycle, you are going to love it. I think our number one thing, maybe one of the most difficult things about being a believer in Jesus, is learning how to have communion with the Holy Spirit. But I think that it's something that as we get better at it and as we learn it, you realize it's the only thing I want. It's the only thing I want to do.
We have someone with us always. This world right now is very, very loud. And the hardest thing I think about the Holy Spirit, I hope that is heard as somehow a good thing, but he's not on a megaphone. He's not standing on a stage with a microphone in his hand directing us. He's not even, physically on a trail in front of me that I can see, telling me to go here, put my foot here, put my hand here, climb here. We have to listen, and we have to ask, and we have to expect things. Colossians 4 says, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. We have to watch for him. We have to ask him, and we have to watch, and we have to listen, and we have to decipher, and we have to tell him, I need your help right now. Help me. Make this clear to me. Make it obvious. Show me where to go and show me what to do. Make these words I'm reading make sense to me. Make them stand out. Make them jump off the page at me. Highlight things, Lord. Make them clear. You are with me. Your Spirit is in me. Put a leash on me and guide me. And the problem is, right now, the world is louder than ever, and we have to really work to hear him. I think if this is a pilgrimage, this could be a really tough part of it right now, the time that we're in. It can really feel like we are hiking up a hill both ways, 15 miles. And it can feel like there's no end in sight. Like there's no water, there's no resting point. There's no cliff bar. But don't forget, we have a guide who Jesus left behind for us, who resides in each one of us if we know him, who can interpret things, who can lead us, who can tell us the things, who can make things known to us that the Lord left behind for us. Don't forget that. I think I could be wrong about this. He feels more present in my life right now, and I know that's not true. I know he is always with me. But to be frank, I've just had to look really hard and work really hard to feel really close to the Lord in this. And it gets easier when I do that. And when I say it out loud, I'm like, well, that makes sense. But right now in this world that feels like the hardest hike ever, the hardest pilgrimage ever, work, look really hard, ask. Tell the Lord to make things clear. Ask the Holy Spirit, help me, be my guide, take my hand, put a leash around me if you have to. Get me where we're going. Because we can't do it without him.
Let me make a couple of suggestions. Just a couple of practical things that I think, just in my conversations with people, things that hold them up. One, you got to set aside some time and space for it. If you just wait till a good moment where maybe you'll run into the Holy Spirit, I don't think you ever will. Or it'll be pretty rare. I think you got to set aside some time and space for quiet where it's just yours. If you're married, if you've got a bunch of kids in the house, ask your mate to help you. Ask your mate to take care of the kids so that you can find some space for Jesus. Two, and I think this is a weird thing to say out loud, but I think a lot of people will kind of nod their head in agreement. And people that already don't do this, you'll be like, ooh, gross. But you know what? This is a judgment-free zone, so you can lay off everybody else who needs to get this down. Don't take your phone into the bathroom. I know that feels weird to say out loud. Some people are like, who takes their phone into the bathroom? Other people are like, dude, I take my phone into the bathroom because I got a few moments of privacy to be by myself where I can actually concentrate and catch up on some stuff. I know. Don't take your phone into the bathroom. Let that be a place. I know it's so odd to say it, where you and Jesus can just talk. When you're brushing your teeth, and you're washing your hands, and you're taking a shower, all of that stuff, and that can be a time for just you and Jesus. Nobody else is allowed in there. You literally get to lock the door, and nobody else can come in. Let that be one of your spaces and times for him. And then the last thing I would say is, just try to get good at listening. Just give space for the Holy Spirit to talk. I think that once we get good at this and get some reps in, I don't know if we'll ever want to do anything else. Okay, that was long. That was a lot of talking. We love you guys. Today's episode has been brought to you by the newly married Thomas and Maddie Cox, and it's been brought to you by the Holy Spirit. Hope that you get a chance to have some time with him today. I know it seems weird, but it's better that Jesus went away. We love y'all. See ya. I would have been so lost, I would have been alone. I would have been afraid, I would have had no one. But you came down and bled to set me free. If not for you, who would I be? Thank you.
to be so aimless. I was so far gone, so broken and so hopeless. Oh, you came down and you came after me. If not for you, who would I be? Forgiven and clean, I am so precious to Jesus, my King. I am God's child, forgiven and clean. I am so precious to Jesus, my King. Sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. But you amazing came down how and bled to set me free. Sound. Not for you.